you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Mind Body Peak Performance. If you're like me, you've never thought twice about the topic of today's conversation. Our guest this week is Carice Laguerre. She'll describe her background and how she got into this world later. But for now, what you should know is that she's a registered dental hygienist and orofacial myologist. And to translate that mouthful out of science speak, it basically means that she's a physical therapist for your face, your neck, and the muscles ranging from your shoulders to your forehead. Carice describes these body parts as the conductor and the orchestra of muscle coordination involved in breathing, chewing, and swallowing. Clients that work with her often experience better, more restful sleep, improved breathing, improved facial profile, as well as dental beauty, and a long list of other benefits we discuss in the show. If you get value from this episode, leave a review and share it with friends, family, and anyone you feel would benefit from the information. Thanks for listening, and I hope you find this as interesting as I have. We're joined tonight by Carice Laguerre, a myofunctional therapist. And don't worry if you have no idea what that means. I didn't either. Carice, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Nick. Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
Let's start off with the usual question I like to dig into, which is, what have you done so far today? What unusual things have you done for your health and performance? And how long have you been practicing this ritual of sun gazing?
Almost a year. It's been fantastic, like super life changing.
Back when I used to live on the east side of New York, I did the same thing. And it was about a year ago that I started being consistent about it, getting up and watching the sunrise. And since I moved to the west side, now I'm more consistent with the sun sets, but either way, it's a powerful habit to start or end the day.
Yeah, super powerful. I can't get with the sun sets. I don't know why, but for some reason it just works so much better for me if it's at the start of my day.
Yeah, me too. And I have to admit that I much prefer the sunrise. I feel like it gives me a little micro win that I start off the day on a strong note. I feel relaxed and yet calmly energetic. And it's a great way to propel myself into the day. But because commuting across all of Manhattan to see the sunrise early in the morning isn't as feasible, I've settled for the next best thing, which is sunset.
Awesome.
Tell me about your backstory. We'll get into what myofunctional therapy is afterward, but how did you get here?
Well, it all started for me with my kids. And as a mom of four, I think it's very common that as parents, we walk around and we just believe everything's okay. People come by, they'll ask, how's everything? How are the kids? Good. Everything's good. You don't really tell people what's actually going on, what things you might really be struggling with, because a lot of these things are common, but it feels like such a reflection on you as a parent that you don't want to share it with others. So I didn't share that my oldest had ADHD, that we were really combating with you know, accepting that for a while. We had a lot of behavioral and impulse issues and a lot of school and attention issues that we had to overcome there. We had a lot of sleep issues with my next oldest one, where every sleep issue under the sun, you name it, she had it. From the night terrors to the sleepwalking, sleep talking, bedwetting, I mean, everything consistently every night for 10 years, her first 10 years of life, all sleep issues. And then the little two, we had so many issues with congestion and sore throats and ear infections. And it was like a constant stream of antibiotics in the house. So all these things, like their general lack of health, for not having a better word, but their being at that time was not good. But we go around and we say everything's good. And I, fortunately, in my first profession as a registered dental hygienist, I was working for a pediatric dentist. The pediatric dentist was very, very into airway dentistry and was very holistic in that sense. And she was able to put together a lot of pieces for me that I didn't understand, in that even though my kids had different issues, they were all really common issues, and common isn't normal. And it all stemmed around the way they were breathing and using the muscles in their head and neck region.
And those are muscles that most of us don't spend any time paying attention to.
Exactly. Important muscles, because, you know, we're using them probably more often than we're using many of our other muscles, and we don't pay any attention to them.
It seems like second nature. It doesn't seem like they could use training. But now let's move on to a big word that I have trouble with: orofacial myofunctional therapy. What is that? Why does it matter? How did you get into this specifically?
Okay. So orofacial myofunctional therapy, or it's also called just myofunctional therapy, is kind of like working with a personal trainer who only works with the muscles below your eyes, but above your shoulders. So we stick to that area where we have hundreds of muscles, honestly, that are going to be working together to help you with breathing, chewing, swallowing. This is incredibly important because, one, we can't do anything if we can't breathe. Like, breathing is primary. Above all other needs, we have to breathe as people. Before you even need to eat and drink, you better be breathing. Two, the chewing and the swallowing. I mean, come on. We've got to, you know, have that optimized in order to facilitate a lot of other processes. So our chewing and our swallowing, many people don't think about it or even know, but digestion actually starts in the mouth. So as you're chewing, you're starting your process of digestion. A lot of gastrointestinal issues and so forth can stem from not having proper function in the mouth. And then all of this is really going to connect with that upper respiratory tract when it comes to sleep.
For someone that has heard a lot about the importance of becoming a nose breather and currently breathes through their mouth predominantly, or it's the automatic pattern that they revert to, how does training these specific muscles help them make that transition?
It's going to help significantly in a number of ways. So all of these muscles, when they're not working properly, you imagine any other part of the body. So let's take your arm, for example. If you have an arm that's not really functioning at its best, and you're using your opposite arm to help that arm move about and to do things, it's a compensation. You're not really focused on rehabilitating that arm, you're more so just trying to get by. That's what's happening when we're having the muscles of the face and the neck area, these orofacial muscles, when we're having those not working functionally, we develop compensatory patterns. These patterns are going to impact greatly, one, the development of your head and neck area. A lot of people don't realize, when it comes to braces and so forth, that a lot of the shifting of those teeth are impacted by the soft tissue that's surrounding those teeth. And so that development is going to be changed and altered. And when people start seeing things like they've had braces and things start moving backwards and they're not sure why, a lot of the times it has to do with what's going on with these compensatory patterns. It's pushing everything in as opposed to creating a positive pressure. It's starting a negative pressure. That developmental issue is going to be a problem because not only is it unattractive, right? Cosmetically, we all like to have nice straight teeth and like wonderful, beautiful smiles. But if you think about it, the roof of your mouth is the floor of your nose. If you have a very narrow area for that roof of the mouth and your teeth are very crowded and or just on top of each other, you're not having a nice airway space for your nose to intake that air. And that way you can optimize that oxygen. You can get all of that nitric oxide in there, bringing everything to those red blood cells optimally. You're really going to be struggling when it comes to your breathing. That may lead some to mouth breathing. Mouth breathing comes with a whole other myriad of issues where we're going to be suffering as far as hypo or under oxygenation. And that's going to affect your whole body performance. That's going to affect your brain function. And that is going to impact your ability to really perform and present at your best every single day.
And if you're a mouth breather, is there a negative feedback loop where mouth breathing begets more mouth breathing? All of a sudden it becomes harder to shift over into nose breathing because that habit has been deeply ingrained?
Yes. So it does become a negative feedback loop in a sense, because that mouth breathing is going to train a lot of those muscles to act a certain way. And once you get into that habit, it's difficult to break habits. We all know that. We all have these habits that we've been trying to break for, you know, however long we've been alive, and we can't break the habit, right? So it's going to be a bad thing in that sense. As far as there's some stuff out there in the world, and it's controversial about whether mouth breathing is going to be the reason why we have these enlarged tonsils or enlarged adenoids and then frequent sore throats and ear infections and so forth. It's controversial because, you know, we don't have enough research to say one way or the other, but it does have an impact on your overall function and your ability to break that habit later on.
How would I know if I have a problem, an orofacial myofunctional problem?
You would know because you would have first, I think the biggest sign that many people don't even realize is a sign is that when you're sleeping, you might hear yourself snoring. That snoring, if we think about what snoring actually is, snoring is really the sound of air, meaning resistance as it's going through. So whether you're intaking it from your mouth or you're intaking it from your nose, if you can hear it in any which way, shape, or form, so snoring doesn't always have to be big, loud, and boisterous. Snoring can be light and just the sound of that air moving. We don't want to hear anything. Air shouldn't meet any form of resistance as we're breathing, whether we're awake or asleep. But that snoring is going to be a clear sign that something's going on. There's some blockage here and we need to work on it. Next biggest sign is definitely going to be that narrowing of the arches. So you're looking at your dental arches or your jaw or your teeth formation and you're saying, this looks really small. Like, I have difficulty when I go to the dentist, I have difficulty opening wide, I have difficulty taking dental x-rays. I think that, you know, that's a huge sign right there because like we said, that roof of the mouth is the floor of the nose. So if that's narrow, everything else up there is suffering with a crowded space as well. Another sign is your jaw. People have a lot of jaw pain, and that's usually from some form of a breakdown due to that compensatory patterning of the muscles. As you're using it, it just breaks down the jaw over time.
Do other professionals, dental professionals, orthodontists, do they recognize this as an issue, or is it something that flies under the radar?
That's a great question. So we have evolved as people, and sadly, the profession of orthodontics has devolved, because it really, myofunctional therapy actually started out with the father of orthodontics. Mm. The guy who even created that entire profession was the one who knew that these muscles impact the way the teeth move. And over time, it's kind of shifted away from that thought into just, you know, appliances. You could just put the appliances in and then just send people on their way. And so we're getting back on a better track, where now the American Association of Orthodontics has now said that, you know, these dentists need to be screening for these issues. And so that's a step. That is one small step. I think we're getting closer. In the next 5 years, I hope there will be significantly more awareness.
Yeah, it's surprising to hear that it has roots that far back and it's been mostly forgotten or tossed by the wayside.
Yeah, it's really sad. A lot of things, actually. I think as we progress as people, in some ways we really regress and we don't follow the instincts that we should.
And at some point we'll look over and notice that, oh, this is lagging behind over here. And then we'll prioritize that to the detriment of something else. And then we'll reach over and pick up that. And eventually the idea is that to rise all tides.
Exactly.
And what's the importance of the tongue in all this? That's the only real muscle of the face that I'm aware of. I know there's other muscles throughout, but the tongue is the main one, maybe a collection of muscles.
Yeah, that's so key. I'm glad that you said that it's a collection of muscles, because a lot of people are under the impression that the tongue is just one big muscle. The tongue, I like to think of it as an organ, because the tongue is actually comprised of 8 different muscles, and those muscles all work in pairs. So that's 16 muscles that innervate that tongue that are going to help it do lots of different motions, whether it's, you know, curling itself up or pulling itself back or lifting up and forward. It's got so many different movements that you can get out of those 16 muscles. But that's why it's so important, because there are 16 muscles. And muscles, the way that we know that they work is that they have 2 points of insertion and origin. So we want to have, you know, that communication amongst the body. So when there's 16 muscles in the tongue and they're connected to various parts of what's going on in that lower jaw, that's incredibly important, because we can't correct any of that coordinating muscle tone if we're not working on that tongue and individually working on the function of those muscles.
Do you find that anyone knows to work on their tongue before working with you or discovering this modality?
No, not at all. I think we use our tongues more than we use anything else, whether we're talking or we're drinking or swallowing, and, you know, but nobody ever thinks about that.
I know from some of the ancient medical systems, such as traditional Chinese medicine, that they valued the tongue very highly, and it supposedly held all kinds of answers that today are unaddressed. So it's nice to hear that you're bringing back attention to this. On the opposite end, if I have OMD, if I correct that, what will I experience? What are the benefits of correcting it?
Benefits are going to be expansive, because just like I mentioned with my children, there are so many different ways it can manifest. So it can be a number of things that you will experience, but among them, you should be able to clear out the middle ear better. Mm-hmm. So you experience less ear infections if you're having that.
Interesting.
A lot of relief with TMD, that jaw pain, that jaw disorder. A lot of relief with neck and upper back pain. You can see a lot of better breathing, because you'll be working more exclusively through the nose. Reduction in snoring, if not elimination, a reduction in the need of the CPAP, or just better adherence to being able to tolerate that CPAP and wear it at night. For those who use the CPAP, it's for obstructive sleep apnea. It's a continuous positive airway pressure machine, just so I don't confuse anybody. You will see a lot better digestion. There are some people who struggle with a lot of the issues, like frequent gas, they're swallowing too much air while they're eating, and they're having acid reflux. We do see improvements in that stuff as well. It can be as expansive from, you know, just you're no longer snoring to like now your GI issues have been resolved.
So making this simple change could take someone from needing to rely on external sources of buffering stomach acid to controlling it all on their own just by paying attention to the muscles between, what did you say, the eyes and the neck?
The shoulders. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Nobody realizes it's so very critical to all sorts of functions of the body. And if you think about it, it's really below our most critical organ, our brain. Like, it's hanging out right in that area.
Important not to ignore. By now, I'm sure people are wondering what exactly these exercises would look like. You can't do a curl, a weightlifting curl with your tongue. So what would these look like?
Well, you'd be surprised. We get pretty creative because at some points we do have people like lifting things up with their tongue. it's a cute little exercise. It's called an elevator. We actually do. I hang little weights from a string and you bring it up with your tongue. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. But while these exercises, you know, look simple, so we'll take something just like clicking the tongue. So if you can just make like a clicking or a popping sound with your tongue.
Okay.
Perfect. We take something that seems as simple as that. Some people struggle to even be able to make that. You want to make that sound a little bit louder. You want to have more control. You want to be able to hold that tongue in that position against that roof of the mouth, that palate, keep it up there, sustain it, then drop it down, still have it make a sound, and be able to really gain control over your movements. That's how you're strengthening it.
So is there like an entire orofacial myofunctional like exercise library?
There is. I mean, yeah, there's a whole lot of things you can do. Because remember, there's hundreds of muscles that are all in this area. And so coordinating them all in the different functions, each one is going to be able to have its own exercise. That way you can target and engage.
If there was one thing, simple at-home thing that people could do to improve those muscles and it's not going to cause issues, do you have any examples of things that people should either look up on YouTube to figure out how to do or simply just do it themselves?
We're in this society where everybody always wants to do everything by themselves, right? Like if I wanted to go fix my roof, I could go YouTube how to fix a roof and I could fix my roof. But would my roof sustain a hurricane? I don't know, because I'm not a professional. I just went online. So I always advise that people work with a professional. That's always ideal, but that's not everybody's situation, right? So my number one tip or trick would be focus on your nasal hygiene. Everybody completely ignores the fact that we have this nose here that serves such an important function. Our nose is going to filter and really warm and prep a lot of that air and make it tolerable for our body. That way we are able to get the best out of that oxygen. And so it's important to keep that area nice and clean. You keep it clean, that helps to keep it nice and open. And then you're kind of getting yourself into a better spot, especially if you're mouth breathing. So that's a great way to propel yourself forward. Use the saline rinse, use the aromatherapy inhalers. Make sure that you are using something that is going to contain some level of either eucalyptus or peppermint, because those two essential oil blends are definitely going to help clear up the nose as much as possible. Nasal hygiene, first and foremost. Secondarily, I would say definitely work on your chewing. Be able to sustain chewing on both sides. There are so many people who only chew on one side of their face. And you've got to work all the muscles on both sides. Chewing works a number of muscles.
That's another one of those subconscious habits that a lot of us have, that you might be chewing on just one side and don't realize it. And then if you pay attention to it, all of a sudden you realize, oh, I've been completely ignoring the opposite side of my mouth.
Exactly. And then you'll find out that you're struggling. You're like, oh, I didn't know that I couldn't chew on the right or the left. Super important to chew mm-hmm. bilaterally.
And on the athletic performance side, I have this little thing called a fume. I don't know if you see it. It looks like a pipe. It's not actually a pipe. It's a essential oil inhaler, and there's a little cotton swab in there, and you dip a couple of drops of whatever essential oil. I use peppermint, and then you inhale through your mouth and exhale through your nose. And I find that when I do that before I exercise, or really in general, it completely clears the nasal passage, and I can like exchange oxygen a lot more effectively while I'm working out. So a little tip that I've been experimenting with over the last couple months and have been absolutely loving.
That's super awesome. Yeah, it's definitely important to engage and to help open and clear up that nasal passageway, especially when you're exercising, because you need that oxygen even more than you've got to send it even more places.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know in a previous conversation, we talked about how the position of the tongue can stimulate the vagus nerve. Can you explain and elaborate on that?
So there's a lot of connections within our oral cavity. So on the tongue and on the roof of the mouth, we have a lot of proprioceptors. Those proprioceptors are going to really send a lot of signals back up towards the brain. That's how we know that like okra has like a slimy taste, or like the outside of a kiwi, if you bite into it, is fuzzy. That's how you know that, because these sensory perceptors are going to take that signal up to your brain. So that tongue, with all of its proprioceptors, is going to connect up with the roof of the mouth, your palate, and all of those proprioceptors are going to connect, and it's going to stimulate that vagus nerve. Our vagus nerve is super important for numerous reasons. One, because it's the big one linked with a lot of our major organs and function. Secondarily, it is very important for our sympathetic and parasympathetic responses. That's our fight or flight system. And I really am a big believer in the polyvagal theory.
I've heard of it, but can you explain it for those that might be unaware?
Absolutely. Our polyvagal theory is that there's not just two responses where it's fight or flight, there's actually immobility. And that's the third response. So if you think about a deer in headlights, that's that I cannot engage. And that is a very important thing to acknowledge, at least for me, when I'm working with clients, because you'll have people who are stuck at a point and they really cannot progress. And that's not a fight. And it's certainly not a flight. They're in that middle range. And you find that once they are able to adequately engage with their proprioceptors and they're really getting a lot more of that connection between the tongue and the roof of the mouth, that you can stimulate that awareness, that you can regulate what's going on and keep yourself socially engaged, because social engagement is incredibly important. And that's going to be all of that sympathetic response.
I've heard it referred to as fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah, but that freeze can really put you in like, you know, in a bad place, because in some ways it has been linked to, you know, depression, where you feel like you really just cannot do anything and there's no logical reason you can put behind it. You just feel frozen in a spot and in a space in life. And I don't know. I think that it's really important to stimulate and engage that vagus nerve. That way you keep all of that regulated.
I've been undergoing a rigorous integrated movement science certification. And in it, the course creator mentions how the position of the tongue while we're exercising even can have a profound impact on the muscles that we engage and whether or not the cervical flexors and extensors are recruited properly. And one of the biggest mistakes people make in the gym is that they don't pay attention to the positioning of their tongue. So this conversation today has given me an understanding into the fact that the tongue plays an important role outside the gym as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fun fact, the tongue is actually a really long organ, because I call it an organ. It can go all the way down in some people to C4 or 5. Wow. You think about that. That's down there. So yes, it's incredibly important.
The same thing with the nose.
Exactly. And it's connected to so many things. Like when we think about our ENTs, they're a doctor that's working on three different things, but it's all connected. The ears, the nose, the throat, it's all connected.
Yeah. Carice, what are you interested in researching these days?
I have been actually doing a lot of research and trying to put together some articles for hopefully peer review publication in the future, linking gum disease and tongue function. So oral function really, but a lot of the tongue function, because I think that when there are the patients who do have the orofacial myofunctional disorders or OMDs, you do see a higher rate of gum disease where it's not really controllable by just brushing and flossing. Once they get a lot of that function better, we're seeing more improvement in their gum disease. So that's what I've been looking more into personally. I know it's not the most fun topic, but
you're furthering the cause. That's important.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I think a lot of people tend to feel bad. They're like, I've been brushing, I've been flossing. How come nothing's getting better? And I think that there's unknown factors that aren't being addressed.
What's some of the other currently unknown factors that we'll look back on a decade, two decades, and be like, oh, we're ignoring this really basic one here that is actually pivotal?
Exactly. I think there's going to be a number of things that we start to discover because, you know, I don't think humans have gotten any healthier as time has gone by. We've picked up all these new diseases and disorders, and I think that there's going to be a wealth of things that we will discover once we look within. We can really self-cure.
Part of the whole sterile living thing where we isolate ourselves from the natural environment has backfired to a large degree, and sterilization impedes the immune system's ability to handle new threats or new exposures of any kind.
Yeah, it's very concerning because, you know, we want to be able to fight off things, and while still acknowledging science and the ability to, you know, overcome things using modern techniques, there's still so much ancestral knowledge and wisdom that we should be adapting more of our lives to.
So I do have a few final questions for you, but before I ask them, where can people connect or work with you?
So always through my website, it's going to be themyospot.com. I have on there a link where you can just schedule a free consultation. It's a nice 15-minute chat to find out if myofunctional therapy would be right for you. If it's not, I have an expansive network of, you know, wonderful providers who do all sorts of things who might be a better fit, but for most people, I think it's a very good route to go for a number of things. So I think that's the best place to connect with me. You can alternatively connect with me also on social media. A lot of my handles are at TheMyoSpot.
Very nice. And now we're going to go to one of my favorite questions, and we're going to go through a hypothetical that if all the knowledge in the world was gone, completely removed, burned and destroyed, you get to choose three things to exempt from that. It can be books, podcasts, videos, lectures, you name it. What would your three top choices be?
I am obsessed with The Body Electric. I think that's a fantastic book. I would keep that for sure, because I think that would guide me through a lot of things. I would say that Sleep Interrupted by Dr. Stephen Park, that's also a really good one. That one I very much enjoyed too. And you know what I found to be really enjoyable? I do a lot of voice gem work by Angela Kane. I think that that would be 100% on my list too. It's fun and it's strengthening at the same time.
Okay, some new recommendations I'll have to investigate. And a few rapid fire questions. What is the best and worst advice you've received?
Best advice I've ever received is to, you know, follow your gut. I think your gut will lead you into the best of places. Worst advice I've ever received is to, you know, like stay quiet, hang out low, don't try to, you know, stir up too much. I think it's super important, especially when you do something that isn't as aware as myofunctional therapy. That's not like a household thing. I think it's super important to be really loud, really boisterous, and to share and say that this is something that I truly believe in. So yeah.
Okay. And finally, what's one thing that your tribe doesn't know about you?
Oh, one thing my tribe would not know or probably wouldn't guess is that I'm like a huge fan of like old school, like really raw hip hop, like Eminem first album, DMX for two albums, like really, really raw, hardcore stuff. Yeah.
Well, Carice, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for your time and explaining for both me and the listeners the details of all the muscles that we're completely neglecting in our training routines. And I hope to stay in touch.
Oh, I would love to stay in touch. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.